Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Manifest Church. We're glad that you are with us. We're getting ready to get back into the book of Daniel. And we're going to be in the book of Daniel chapter 7. I'm glad you're with us. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Rumble, please make sure to hit the follow button so you can continue to get messages. And there should be like a little notification bell. Make sure you hit that. And if you're listening on the podcast later on, make sure to hit a like and or follow on there as well. And also, feel free to share the message to friends and family members. As the word gets out, we greatly appreciate that, to get that word out. And so, anyway, just want to thank you for coming, and we're excited. We just had a good time of worshiping the Lord in song and just lifting up His name, just remembering that we're to trust in God, that we're to hold fast to Him, just as Daniel had to trust in God in the midst of different empires that he was in captivity to. And so we also can learn from Daniel, and so we need to trust in him. I'm just encouraged by our time of worship, and I pray that God will minister to your heart today. Let's pray as we get into the word of God today. Father, we love you. We thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us life. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us breath in our lungs to be able to breathe, and to thank you for that we're able to function, Lord God. And Lord, it's for a purpose, it's for a reason that you have given us this life that we have, Lord. It's to be lived for your glory. Our life is to glorify you. And our mission is to make disciples. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in what is done today. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come in our midst right here in this little home. Come in our midst, Lord God, wherever the person may be, whether they're at home in their car, whether they're working in their shop, whether they're listening by driving in their car, wherever they are, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to captivate their hearts, to captivate their minds, to open their understanding, their ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to them. And I pray, Lord, that your word will not fall on deaf ears. I pray that it will produce 30, 60, 100 times what it was sown out to do. And so, Lord, I ask you to use me now. I need you, Lord. I can't do this on my own strength. I'm not wise enough. I'm not competent enough. You are the one that makes me competent. You're the one through your Spirit that makes the simple man wise. And so, Lord, I ask you now to be glorified in this moment, Lord. We trust in you that your word is going to be declared, that when your word is read today, that it would encourage, it would also help us to see that you have already told us what is to be and what will happen, so that we can have your peace, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, so today we continue the book of Daniel, as I've been saying. We've been in Daniel for a little time now. I hope that you've been blessed by the word of God that's come out of that. For the last 3 weeks, we were looking at trust in God. We talked about that has been the title of the message, trust in God, and we had three parts to that, and we finished off last week where God rewards those who trust in him. And we saw how in the last few verses where God had given Daniel, rewarded him for his faithfulness to stand, even when things weren't right, when people were coming at him because they wanted to remove him from his position of authority that was given to him. We saw how they conspired in a plot that was happening to try to remove Daniel from his high official place. And therefore, all of that, because Daniel was a man of God, he did not obey the laws of men over the laws of God. And so Daniel said, you know what? I'm going to continue to do what I've always done. I'm going to pray to the creator of heaven and earth. I'm going to cry out to the Most High God, because there's not a law of man that's going to keep me from petitioning the Lord. And so Daniel, in his faithfulness and his faith and trusting in God, did it. And as a result, God rewards Daniel. Daniel, as you remember, Daniel was in the lion's den. He was thrown in there because he broke the law of man. He was not supposed to pray to any gods except to the king. And obviously, Daniel was not going to do that, because that would be violating God's law. You shall have no other gods before him. So that would have broke the commandment. And Daniel feared God, so he would never do that. And that's the way they plotted to get Daniel out of his position. And we saw as a result, Daniel doing that, God sent an angel and shut the mouths of the lions. And remember how we looked at God uses angels all throughout Scripture. We see angels are ministering spirits, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, that they come and help us. I don't know how many times I've heard stories from Christians and people that I've met over the years, how one moment they were in a situation, a really bad, hairy situation, and someone came and helped them, and then they disappeared, or something to that effect would happen. So we see here all over Scripture, we talked about Peter when he was in the book of Acts, and we see Peter when he was incarcerated for preaching the gospel, not for doing evil. Obviously, if you're doing evil, God isn't going to rescue you from that. Obviously, if you were a criminal, he'll rescue your soul from damnation, but he's not going to rescue you from the consequences of your actions for committing crimes in our society. So that's not at all what God was doing. Peter was not a criminal. Peter was an enemy of the state because of the message he proclaimed. He proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed that Jesus is Messiah. And if there's a Caesar that has a God complex, isn't going to tolerate that he's God. And so just as we see today in our world, the government has no tolerance anymore for the freedom of religion. We see, as we mentioned before, we have seen our intelligence community has been caught red-handed spying on Catholic churches. You're an evangelical. Why are you worried about Catholic churches? Well, if they're doing it to the Catholic Church, what do you think they're going to do to us? What do you think they're doing now? They're monitoring. And so we want to make sure we understand that these things are happening, just like in the times of Daniel, there were people plotting against God's people. And there are those plotting within our government, within our all facets of our society that are plotting against Christianity. They're doing those things. We looked at all of that. Don't want to get into that too much. But again, just remember that. And we saw how God executed vengeance on Daniel's enemies. We know that one day God is going to execute vengeance on the wicked as well. Those who think that they have the upper hand and they think that their plotting is working and that they're going to somehow rule the world. Well, there's a day coming when the King of Kings is going to come riding on a white horse, and he's going to execute judgment on the earth, just as God executed judgment on Daniel's enemies. They were cast into that den of lions, and there was no angel to help them. They were shredded to pieces by the lion. So we saw that, how God executed his judgment. We see that God, in the book of Revelation, we see Jesus coming, and he's going to take care of business. He's going to get rid of the wicked, and he's going to establish his millennial reign. And we're going to see all of these things in the book of Daniel, because Daniel is a heavy hitter concerning prophecies of the end. Actually, the things that he was writing, some of the things were going to happen within his lifetime, but there were things that he wrote that God had given him for the future and as for the generation of the end. And that, I believe, we look like that generation right now. Again, I'm just saying the signs of the times look like we're that generation that Daniel was writing about. And we're going to see the formulation of these end time fulfillments of prophecy. So anyway, we are now in Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to be reading in Daniel verses 1 through 14. That's going to be our main text this morning. This morning, I'm not going to be very long. I do want to cover a couple things, and I think next week we may take a break. I may be doing a message for Mother's Day specifically. So anyway, just want you to know that I want to give you some key terms that we need to define as we are reading prophetic scriptures. As we read these words, there are things that you need to understand and terminology and symbolism in the Bible to be able to understand what Daniel is seeing and what he is communicating. And remember, the scripture interprets itself. It gives us those interpretations as well to understand. So it's not something I'm pulling out the air. You know, these are things you're going to know and see within the Word of God. And so Daniel, let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. Let's read this together. Again, Daniel 7, verse 1, and we're going to finish in verse 14. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream. and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and behold, another like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying, dreadful, and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stomped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which the 3 of the first horns were plucked up by its roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions and beheld, with the clouds of heaven, there was one like the Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Excuse me. Hallelujah. What an awesome sight to see there. We see these ferocious beasts coming up out of the sea, the great sea, and we look at these images that Daniel sees, and it's kind of terrifying, and yet God, the good news is all wrapped up in there. We see that the Ancient of Days destroys the enemy, and we see the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, setting up his millennial reign for 1,000 years, his kingdom that will never end, and all peoples will serve him. We see this awesome imagery that Daniel's dream. Next week, or hopefully within 2 weeks, we're going to get into Daniel's vision interpretation, verses 14 through 28. We'll get 15 through 28, excuse me. We'll go into that. So what an awesome imagery. We see Daniel having a dream, and I want you to notice that Daniel goes back in time. You know, a little pop culture. I love my old movie, Back to the Future. Here we go. He goes back in time and he looks and he tells us about the things that he saw in his dreams, and he wrote them down. We saw this in verse 1. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and a vision of his head as he lay in bed. Now, and he wrote these things down. So Daniel goes back to the first year that Belshazzar was king of Babylon. Remember, Daniel was under the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Now Belshazzar is the king of Babylon. And if you remember, he was the last of those kings to be taken over by the Medo and Persian Empire. They came and destroyed them. That is found in, I believe, chapter 5, where the handwriting was on the wall. Chapter 5, verse 1. I want to read that to you again. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. I want you to see this passage. Again, this is Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. It says, King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the 1,000. So this is Belshazzar. This is the moment where the handwriting was on the wall on Babylon. They were measured, they were weighed, and they were found wanting. And that it was the end of their kingdom. It was about to be destroyed by the Medo-Persian army. And then now Daniel, under the Medo-Persian army, goes back in time and he tells us, meaning he recounts of a time when he was the first year that he was under this King Belshazzar of Babylon. He tells us here the dreams that he had that he wrote down. And so this dream that he had, we see some imagery here. I want you to look on the screen. I want you to see the image. I want you to see two images. I want you to see the image in Daniel chapter 2 that the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, saw. And I want you to see the other image of the beast that Daniel sees in chapter 7 in his dream. And these two images that are being seen by King Nebuchadnezzar and now by Daniel in chapter 7, they are from a different perspective. And the message, or the title of my message today, is God's perspective of the four world empires. Okay, this we saw in the first, in Daniel chapter 2, we saw that in the first, it was King Nebuchadnezzar's man's perspective of the kingdoms, of the empires that will be. And you notice it was a beautiful image, a image with a head of gold. And then, you know, we see all these things. I want to go back there for a moment. I want you to, you can, I'm just going to read it. You can write this down. There in Daniel chapter 2, verse 32 and 33, listen of the image that from man's perspective, what he saw, King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, the head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And Daniel, we see, he talks about the four beasts. And he talks about in verses 4, through 6, I believe. And he says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear, it was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs, and in its mouth between its teeth. And it was told, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back, and the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw night visions. In the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stomped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Okay, so once you see the imagery of this, you're going to have those beasts that are there, and then you're going to have the image of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And if you notice, one is a beautiful image of all the different precious metals, and now we're going to see it from God's perspective. And God's perspective is that they're ferocious and terrifying beasts. He doesn't call them something beautiful and precious. No, they're beasts that devour everything. And so that's important to note, that you see the different one perspective is man's perspective of how, and even if you begin to listen to some of these who are getting ready to begin the Great Reset, the New World Order, you can hear them begin to talk about things, how, oh, this is going to be wonderful for society. We see this in the World Economic Forum. You can see what they're talking about, as if these are going to be exciting times. There are going to be things. There are things even now being prepared for, called 15-minute cities. And it may sound crazy. It may sound what do you mean? It means basically that you're going to be locked into an area and that everything that you need will be there. Whatever government determines that you need will be in these 15-minute cities. And you cannot leave that area only but a certain times. Those are just crazy ideas. Can you imagine? It's like we're watching a movie on TV where you're in a zone and you can't leave that area. Everything you need is in that zone, huh? And so, again, these are some crazy stuff. I know it seems crazy, but just begin to read and look and do some research. And it's there right for your before your eyes. If you're paying attention, if your head is out of the sand, you're seeing these things formulate because these are things that have to happen for the end to happen. And for what God has spoken will take place is going to take place. All we're doing right now is we are in the way of it in order for people to come into the kingdom of God. Christians, we are here holding this back by our presence and by the words that we proclaim to people. We're holding back this thing from fully taking place. Why? Because the message we're proclaiming is so that people will come to know Christ. This is known as the time of the Gentiles, the Gentile nations to come into the kingdom of God. We are proclaiming the word to them. We're proclaiming and making disciples. This is what Jesus commands his church to do. And so during this time, we're basically putting the stops to what he wants to do. But there's coming a day when the church is going to be taken up, and we call it the glorious rapture, the catching up to be with the Lord. And the church is going to be removed, and then all hell is going to break loose, literally. The lawless one is going to be revealed, and we're going to be looking at some of that as we move on. But I want to just take some time today, really, just to focus on this. So as you see that image of that beast and of the image of that, we remember from Daniel. Daniel already told us these are the four empires. We talked about the Babylonian Empire. And so that is that image of this first beast here as well. And then we have the Medo and Persian Empire that took over next. And that is the second beast. It's like a bear, and it just has like these ribs in its mouth. I mean, great. Hey, this thing was ferocious. And so we had that. Then we see the one that's like a leopard. And that is the Grecian Empire. That is Alexander the Great. Remember, that empire was broken into four because it was given to four of his generals after he died. And so that one was there. And then we have the fourth empire, which is what we've looked at already in Daniel chapter 2. And now we're going to see here. It is the Roman Empire. That is the Roman Empire, as we saw. And we know that the Roman Empire in Daniel chapter 2 and the vision that the king had, that this empire had legs and feet, right? And so the purest of it was in the times of biblical times when Jesus and the apostles were walking, the Roman Empire that did much harm to Christians. I mean, this was ferocious. It killed. It put Christians on stakes and burned them as light for the city. I mean, this was terrifying. Christians were thrown to the lions as sport. They were killed simply for naming the name of Jesus under that empire. And then the empire was broken up, and it is beginning to formulate where we see the feet has iron and clay, and is a mixture of nations and people, and it's got his tentacles now outward, and it's not just in one location, but we can see how this is got itself out there, and it's kind of permeated. It's going to be partly strong and then partly brittle. We saw that in Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to see as we continue here. I want to kind of finish off today with a couple key terms I want you to know. As we're reading Daniel chapter 7, and as we continue to see, I want you to know there's a term here that we see. Go over there to Daniel chapter 7. I want you to see in verse 2. Daniel chapter 7, verse 2. I want you to see that Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night and beheld the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea." Now, this term, I just want you to know, it's not very complicated, but I want you to understand that because, you know, some people can over-spiritualize that point. But basically, the four winds of heaven, are four cardinal points of a compass. You have north, south, east, and west. Remember, he's saying that the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and it was from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And then I want you to see this next thing, which is, I want you to, we're going to go back. I kind of went ahead of myself in my notes, but I want us to go back to the part that says great sea. I want you to look at the stirring of the great sea. I want you to know that the great sea, and there should be a map that shows up there for you. Daniel should have a map there for you. The great sea is the Mediterranean Sea, which is the geographical location of the nations in the dream. The sea in Bible writing can also represent nations, and specifically the Gentile nations or foreign nations to Israel, foreign to Israel. And this, you can see if you look at that map, you're going to see, let me find that map real quick for you. I want to show you something. I want to kind of hit up on something here. Mediterranean Sea. Let's go there. And let's look at this image. Just incredible. When you look at the map and you see the nations that surround the Mediterranean Sea, it's pretty, pretty amazing. The nations that surround it. Let me see. I'm looking for one that's... that I can see well, because, you know, my eyes aren't that great, but we're going to do what we can. We're going to make it work. Let's see. Oh, boy. Let's see if this is one. I want to look for this particular map. I want to find it. I guess it doesn't want to give me that, so let's try this. Let's look at that. There we go. There we go. Hallelujah. Now I can see. Woo! All right. So if you look at that map, that Mediterranean Sea, we see Spain, Portugal, we see Spain, we see France, we see Italy, we see Algeria, Morocco, we see Liberia, Egypt, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, Greece, these nations that surround this Mediterranean Sea. And you need to understand when geographical, what is he talking about? The known world of that time is, that's the known world. To them, the known world, what Daniel knew was those areas. He did not know of this side where we are in America. This is not what they're looking at. They're looking at the Great Sea representing that location. And the nations that surround that, are that's where these kingdoms come from. Isn't that interesting? Because we know they're there. So I wanted you to see that map and that illustration so you can see what was going on there. Couple scriptures I want to share with you that kind of help you understand, too, why this. And the book of Revelation, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is revealing him. This is making it known to us who he is, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. And so here in Revelation 17, 15, look at what the Bible says. And the angel said to me, the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are the peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. Again, when we're looking at waters or sea in the Bible, a lot of it is referencing the nations, and they're not referencing necessarily Israel, but the Gentile nations, the foreign nations, and foreign to Israel. Psalm 144, verse 7, stretch out your hand. Again, Psalm 44, verse 7, it says, stretch out your hand from on high, rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hand of foreigners. This last one I want to look at here is Isaiah 17, verse 12. Ah, the thunder of many peoples. They thunder like the thundering of the sea. Ah, the roar of nations. They roar like the roaring mighty waters. And so we see these things happening right there. We can look at this again, these nations that we see surrounding the area. We can see Turkey. We see all of this, Israel, Syria, all of these nations. And this is important, you know, for us when we're looking at Bible prophecy so that we understand why is America not mentioned? Why? Because we're not in that area. It's not where it's all going to happen. Everything is focused in that area of the world. And so you need to understand that as you're looking at Bible prophecy, as you're looking at the scripture, we don't play that much of a role concerning what is happening there other than what we're doing now as a nation. And as we have done historically, we have been a friend to Israel, but recently with this administration, we're not showing that kind of friendship that we used to have. And it's pretty alarming because you need to understand the Bible is very clear. Those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And we need to be proponents of blessing Israel and helping them, not coming against them or trying to divide up their land. We should not be a part of that as a nation. We should be about letting them keep what God has already given them. And anyway, but we have people within our government who don't see it that way, and therefore we're having conflicts. And I believe that's also the result of why some of the curses that we find in our nation, some of the things we're going through, where we have people that don't even know what a man is a man. We don't know what a woman is, what a woman is. We can't define that. We find our schools are being that, our military. Just recently, we have the same thing. Our military is promoting that is fabulous, putting transgenders to or drags to talk about recruiting people for the military. It is the kinds of things that happen when a society turns away from God, that turns away, as Romans 1 says, that they reject the truth and turn to the lie. And as a result, God turns us over to a reprobate mind. And you can find this in Romans chapter 1. You can see how this happens. So we have to understand why we're not even a part of what is really going to happen over there. We may have some part to play, little thing, but nothing major. The major players are there, Russia, China, Iran, Turkey is an area that's going to be major out there. The European nations are a major part to play in that time. And so that will not be, we will not be a part of that situation. anyway, so let's go on. So I want to talk about this other term that we see here. So there in chapter 7, verse 3, I want us to see it says, "And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another." As I mentioned to you, these beasts represent the four great kings or kingdoms or empires that we have been talking about from Daniel chapter 2, verses 32 to 33. And now Daniel 7, 17, we know these are kings and we know that this has to do with that. Once again, this is dealing with the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great, the Roman Empire 1 and 2. The second part of the Roman Empire is that it's a revived Roman Empire. We're going to look at that as we go on again. We're going to hit that again because we talked about some of that in chapter 2. And we're going to continue to reiterate that here as Daniel's from Daniel, and which is God's perspective, heaven's perspective of the kingdoms of this world and how God sees them as beast. Okay, so we want to look at that. We see that those four beasts represent four kings that come up out of the nations, that come up out of the Gentile nations. They're not Israel. They come up out of those nations that are surrounding the great Mediterranean Sea. So this is important to understand. Then I want us to lastly look at the 10 horns, okay? So that last beast had 10 horns. And in Daniel chapter 7, I'm going to give you this in Daniel chapter 7. We'll go ahead a little bit, but Daniel chapter 7, verse 24 tells us what the ten horns represent. It says, as for the ten horns, out of the kingdom, out of this kingdom, which is that fourth kingdom, out of this kingdom, ten horns shall arise, and another shall arise from after them. He shall be different from the former ones and shall put down three kings. So these ten kings, and I want Daniel to put up a map there. It's an image that I want you to see. Let me find this image myself. I want you to see something as well that I saw here. So this map is showing you kind of a rough draft of what the New World Order or how they want to split the world in regions, 10 regions. I want you to look at this in a minute. Let me pull this up real quick. 10 regions. All right, let's see. Let me look at this real quick. Here we go. This is what I want. That one right here. Just want to see the picture. I don't know why it's doing that. So anyway, let's look at this. These 10 regions. This was a prototype in 1974 of the Club of Rome. And you notice how they wanted to split up the kingdoms. You can see here where North America, which is America and Canada, have one region. Then you have South America is another region. We have Africa as a region. We two regions in Africa. We have these different regions. We see Russia as a region. We see China. We see all these different parts of the world that are regions for this coming New World Order. And so these are going to be places that these 10 kings will be a part of, and they're going to be given power. They don't have it yet. They're working on this. These are things that are in the works. You need to understand that there are things formulating. One of those things, I might as well go into that. One of those things that I want you to understand that a couple of things that are taking place. You need to know how this stuff is going to formulate. I really believe as we're seeing a massive move into AI, AI is going to be a main instrument concerning the end times, concerning what will take place and how the enemy will have an image that will have power to even kill people. And we'll have to worship the image of the beast. And I believe AI is a component of that. I believe that it's going to be a big part. And I don't, this is just my personal opinion and what I believe AI, the Bible doesn't describe AI or anything like that. But again, Daniel's trying to describe, if you look in the book of Revelation, he's describing an image that the beast gives power, that whoever doesn't worship the image, it can kill you. How can, Daniel doesn't have our terminology to say, oh, it's a AI. It's some kind of computer or imagery or something that can be in your body that can kill you. I mean, you don't have any idea in John's perspective, in his vocabulary, to give us our technology time, our technological time. He doesn't have those words. So he's just describing it's an image that he sees that is given power and it kills people that don't worship the beast. Interesting. Matter of fact, this is important to know. We're going to end here in the next couple minutes here. I want to finish this up real quick. The Godfather AI leads Google and warns of danger ahead. This is an article that was written. And one of those things, he's concerned that we won't be able to control what happens with people are not gonna, imagine now how hard it is to determine when you're surfing the net, when you're looking to try to find the truth, how hard it is. Can you imagine when AI that can take all pieces of data, images, and can make things look like real human being, can take your body or your face and put it on our body to look like you did something or someone did something. I mean, can you imagine the deception that could be done in that time? And as we've seen this develop, he was very concerned. And he talks about, let me see if I can find the specific quote that just bothered me concerning what he said that you just need to know. Because a lot of these folks that are working on this, I mean, it's something that's good. Like if you've ever used it, it can give you certain things. But in the wrong hands, it's going to do much harm and much evil. And so we need to understand that. I don't have time. I don't know where that is right now. But it's just, if you look in, I'll put on the link where you can go. It should show you there. If you type that into your computer, should find it. Also, lastly, this last little thing I want to mention to you, that there is a meeting coming up. The World Economic Forum members summoned to accelerate and advance the Great Reset. There's a meeting coming up real soon. And this World Economic Forum has issued an urgent summons to world leaders to develop strategies to expedite its Great Reset globalist agenda. So this is important to understand that they have an agenda, globalist agenda, and that is to create one world system, a new world order, a one world government, a one world religion, one world currency, which is the digital currencies that we are beginning to see. You need to understand that the banking system collapsing and those things, these are things that are not happening by chance. They're happening, unfortunately, by design for players that like us. We don't even understand it. We don't know what's happening. We don't know how it triggered it. But these things are happening, and you know, who knows when that's going to happen. But you need to understand that this is where it's all heading, and their goal here, and they're thinking this is going to be great, but it's not great because you and I our freedoms are going to be eroded. The freedoms that God has given us, we're not going to be able to enjoy like we used to in this type of setting. So we can see what God is allowing us to see in our day. We're seeing these things formulate. We're looking back at what Daniel was writing, and we're looking forward to this formulation of this revived Roman Empire. It's pretty interesting. And so all of this to be said, not to be afraid, not to be alarmed. Now, if you're not a Christian, yeah, be very afraid, because this is not what that's not going to be a good time for anyone. But I want to tell you today that if you're not a believer and these things have brought fear in your heart, that's a good thing. And I pray that fear will turn you to the living God, will turn you to trust in God's word, that God is true and let every man be a liar. I pray today that you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would turn to him. And you know what? The Bible is clear that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've been a part of. Jesus can wash away your sins, and he wants to. That's why he died on Calvary. The good news we're going to see, he's going to set up a new kingdom, and he's going to get rid of all these wicked people who have been doing these things and the things that they've been doing to humanity. God is going to destroy the wicked. They don't have the final say. God will, and his son is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and everything is going to be holy. Even the cups are going to be holy. Can you imagine? It's going to be an awesome time when the King of Kings sits on his throne and begins to rule and reign in this world. And we have a hope as Christians. And I pray if you're watching and listening, you're not a Christian, that today you can have that same hope. You need to understand that you have sinned against God, that you have offended a holy God. And you wonder, well, what's sin? Well, what have I done? Well, the Bible is clear. If you don't have a Bible, go find it. Go in the book of Exodus, I believe chapter 20, you're going to find the Ten Commandments. You're going to see how man, if you've worshipped anything other than the real God, the God of heaven, the God, the creator of heaven and earth, then you have worshipped idols. If you bow down to something other than him, if you've lied, if you've stolen, if you've committed adultery, if you've been sexually immoral, you have sinned against God. And that is why God is going to bring judgment on this world. But God doesn't want you to perish. God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you. And not only to die, but the Bible says he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, proving that he is the Son of the living God. And Jesus is waiting now. He's been as he ascended to heaven. And now he's awaiting his time to come back and rule and reign on this earth and to bring justice and righteousness back to this wicked and perverse world. God wants to do that, but you've got to let him. You've got to turn to him. He's speaking to your heart right now. And maybe you're a Christian and maybe you're a little concerned about these things, or you might be a Christian and say, I don't want to hear about these things. I don't want to talk about these things. I know it's going to happen, and so it doesn't matter. No, it matters, because there are people that need to hear the word of God. There are people that need to know what the Bible says, and that's why we need to be clear, and we need to speak the truth in love and declare it to them. And it shows them, man, that the Bible is telling us what is going to happen. We can't put our head in the sand. We can't live and say, well, I don't want to know about these things. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. No, we gotta understand that it's going to happen, but we need to warn people of the impending judgment that's coming and give them the good news. We need to tell them that there's good news, that they don't have to perish in their sins. They can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he wants to save us. He wants to save you. And so let's pray now as we get ready to end. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. I know we define some terms and some things, but Lord, I pray that even through some of that, Lord, that your word did what it was set out to do, that it would cause conviction in the heart, cause edification to the body, those who are Christians, who are watching, those who are lost, who may listen or watch later, God, that you would move upon their hearts right now, and that they would call on the name of Jesus, that they would confess you as Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised you from the dead. Oh, Lord Jesus, may they serve you and give their life to you, Lord, turning away from their sins and walking with you. I pray for believers not to be asleep in their flesh, but to wake up from their slumber and to begin to do the will of God, to begin to be on mission, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for your great promises to us. Thank you, Lord, that you've told us these things so that we can have peace, not so that we can fear of what's to come, but that we can have peace. And when everybody's losing their mind, they can see God's people at peace, knowing that you are sovereign in control, Lord. We love you. And God's people said, amen. We'll see you next time. God bless you.